today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have a winner! Winner, 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 winner. Also, we all lost, all of us, because all the movies got moved back.
It did indeed.
And the internet is terrible because Eternals got spoiled. But Will Poulter got cast as Adam Warlock, so that's pretty cool. All that and more is that we have no control over. Kind of slightly controlled. Modicum? A modicum. Very little control.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Hey, buddy.
Like old times.
Yeah, bud. Ashley is out sick today, so we have no producer in the producer chair. But me and Jeff are here like old times, except we do have the live chat joining us, which is exciting. Well, let's like first thing first, man. We got the big prize to give away.
Yeah, we had this month of reviews to sift through.
Thank you guys so much. So many reviews. All between the nine shows, how many reviews did it end up being?
It ended up being 1,012 reviews across all nine shows. It would have been very, very difficult to gather all of those by hand. So, you know, I found a way to gather all of that programmatically with, you know, a little bit of magic.
Yes.
With the Python.
Jeff used his, Jeff used his coding knowledge to collect it all robotically.
I did use a bit of my, from my data wrangling class that I recently finished.
Oh, that's awesome.
As part of my data management, data analytics degree that I'm on the cusp of completing.
As much as I am super proud of you, and I think that's awesome, I think the people just want to know who won.
Oh, the people want to know who the winner is.
People want to know who the won. You get your choice of a Oculus Quest or Nintendo Switch, and who is the winner?
Well, the winner posted on September 16th, 2021. I could give you a timestamp, but I'm not going to. On Apple Podcasts, saying, if you're looking for a great podcast, this is it. And that author is Purple Llama 63.
Man, I could not
That's a great name.
Be happier with the name of the winner, Purple Onion, Purple Llama, Purple Onion. Sorry, that's a restaurant.
That's
Purple
a restaurant.
Llama, Purple Llama, thank you. That's such a good screen name.
Yep. They posted on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, fitting, I would say.
That's true. It's true.
And, yeah, Purple Llama 63. So
what I love though is with 1,000 people, 1,000 reviews coming in, for those people who were kind enough to go give a review on all nine shows, they've got about a 1 in 100 chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they still have about a 1 in 100
good chance.
Like, yeah, to win a big prize with no purchase. So thank you guys for doing it. We really hope.
No purchase necessary.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like you're gambling here. It's just like a kind thing everybody did to go help out the network. So thank you. And Purple Llama, reach out to us by email and we'll verify you and get you your prize. Everybody fair else, fair. We'll do another one soon. Something like this. We probably won't be doing a review contest. We'll do something similar coming up. I think in a few months, probably. So keep in the feed. We'll be doing some other prize stuff because it was very effective to help out not only us, but the whole network. Thank you guys.
Yeah. The other shows have seen a real boost, in their numbers because like people apparently, had not discovered those other shows yet until we were like, go review them. And they're like, I guess I'll listen to them too.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh crap, this is a really great show. Why haven't I been listening the whole time?
Yeah. Getting a lot of messages about new shows in the Strain Dependent Network. People are finding. So if you haven't done that yet, check out straindependent.com. There's lots of shows there. Cool. Well, let's get into the news, bud.
Yeah. The news. God, the news this week is just, it's all sad, Matt. It's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm so bummed about the first piece of news.
We got delays on like literally everything coming up. Except, okay, I say literally everything. It's not literally everything. We still got Eternals coming out in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
It's crazy.
And then we still have Spider-Man coming out in December.
Mm-hmm.
On December 17th, which is very funny. Bold move on the part of the people who make The Witcher, but they also are releasing on December 17th.
Huh.
So there's going to be a whole lot of things to watch that weekend for me especially.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Both things you love.
Yeah, both of these things I love a lot. So Disney has delayed the release of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness from March 25th to May 6th. And you're like, hey, Jeff, I thought that was the day that Thor Love and Thunder was going to come out. And you would have been right, except that it got moved to July 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, Jeff, I thought that's the day that Black Panther Wakanda Forever was going to come out. But it got moved from July 8th to November 11th. And you're like, hey, Jeff, I thought that was the day that The Marvels was going to come out. Oh, you would have been right, except that it's now postponed to early 2023.
Wow.
And you're like, early 2023, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania was supposed to come out then. Yeah, you're right, except it's now pushed back to July 28th, 2023.
So all of them basically got pushed back one slot to the where the next movie was going to go, which is a bummer. And I wonder if this will affect their TV strategy as well, if they'll slow down on that as well, or if they'll keep that coming. So we'll see.
I really hope they don't slow anything or slow the TV stuff down, because the TV stuff has been so good.
Yeah, for sure, man. Freaking love it and freaking excited. I'm just so, like, it's very short-sighted. I realize everything got pushed back, but I was just so excited about Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
I also think that, like, maybe we don't, they said they moved them back. I think their reasoning was for some of these production issues they're having.
Yes, production delays.
Yeah. Well, there's been a bunch of talk about a strike on a lot of these productions a strike in the entire, I guess, whatever, Screen Actors Guild or whatever, because of the way they're, like, It's not the actors, it's the crew and such, because of the way they're working them so hard. They're doing like 16-hour days and stuff. And that was one of the things I heard saw cited was all that talk of strike. They wanted to expand the length of time they have to make these things so they can slow down a little bit, because they were pushing their people pretty hard, I guess.
Okay.
But I also can't help but think it might be related to just like wanting Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness to be a summer blockbuster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they normally put their biggest movie in May. You know, it's always their biggest tentpoles always come out in May. And Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness seems like it's going to be a big tentpole movie.
Yeah, based on what we know about multiverse upcoming and, you know, the way that it looks like Spider-Man is going to be, like, There's so much Doctor Strange featured in the trailer for Spider-Man that, like, every time I think about it, I'm like, oh, that's the next Doctor Strange movie. No, wait, that's the next Spider-Man movie.
Well, and the fact that they're combining all this stuff, I have no doubt that Spider-Man might be in there. There's been a lot of rumors that Loki might be in there. We know that Wanda's in there. It's just kind of at America Chavez. Like, it feels like it's almost an Avengers movie level event where you're getting all these people from different areas and combining them together. Some of them from the TV side, but the TV stuff has been so popular that, you know, it feels to me like it's going to be like an Avengers level event.
The thing that you were saying about it being like a big team up that, like, kind of leads me down this path of excitement, I guess, is that, like, it does feel like an Avengers level event, and it does feel like a big team up thing, but it also is a team up of people that we've either never seen before, or people that have just not been there for, like, the all the team ups so far. So, like, they haven't been present for, like, the big team up, like the Civil Wars. And
Wanda's been there for all of it.
But Wanda was, like, barely there for Civil War.
She was, like, Wanda, the impetus was for the whole thing there.
Story-wise, but she was barely, she got put in her room.
Like, right, but then they broke her out of her room. I mean, she's involved in the big first fight. She's involved in the big airport fight. Like, she's not one of the main two people, I would say. But she's like the third or fourth on the call list, kind of.
I'd say she's like fifth on one of the teams. Like, she and Vision, I think that this is a thing that, it's a Russo Brothers thing. The Russo Brothers like grounded, realistic characters. So like Wanda and Vision and Thor and Hulk are not that. And because of that, they kind of like sideline those characters as much as they can. Mm. Like, if you watch Civil War and you kind of look at, like, who they focus on more than anything, like, obviously Captain America, because it's Captain America movie.
Right.
But when it comes down to, like, in Civil War, in Infinity War, like, most of the time, they're spending time with those grounded characters, those characters who are closer to human. Like, Wanda gets put in her room, Vision gets sent into the core of the Earth, basically, like, in Civil War, when she, like, throws him underground. And, you know, you don't see them a lot. Like, they show up, they do their big thing, they kapow and cause ruckus, and then, you know, the rest of it is the regular people reacting to that.
See, I don't know that that's a result of the Russos wanting to do that, but it, to me, is a result of the fact that, like, the two main characters for all those movies you're talking about are Iron Man and Captain America, who are, like, who were the biggest two Avengers, the two that kind of like, I think they were sort of the heart of the team for the beginning of this phase one and phase two and phase three. So like, as much as I love the other parts,
Hulk is the biggest member.
Right. I think that Cap and Iron Man are clearly the most popular. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that they're the ones that they wanted to wrap their story up. And so like those three movies, one of them is literally about the two of them fighting, and the other one is about them figuring out how to come back together to fight a bigger threat. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Cause if you really think about it, even Thor, as much as, you know, I know you love Thor, and he is for a fantastical character, he's not that focused on in that movie either.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I think they're just really focused on Tony and Cap more so than like, they have to be street level or like, you know, whatever, grounded is the word you used. I think it's more that like they're telling a story about these two people because they do have like fantastical scenes. And I mean, Thanos is in no way grounded. He's like this god level character who's out in the cosmic verse, you know,
but I will say in Infinity War, every time Thanos is dealing with Tony and with Cap, he goes more hand to hand than he does pretty much anybody else, other than like when he at the beginning fought Hulk and like pretty much shit stomped him.
I think there's a bit of Thanos that likes to kind of get his hands dirty. Yeah. And so like, I think he tends to fight people on their level. And so if someone comes at him with punches, he responds in kind. If they come at him with magic, he responds with magic. I mean, maybe just like that's how he responds. I don't know.
When Bruce came at him, in the suit, in the Hulkbuster suit, he just like phased him into the wall.
He's like,
you're sitting there for now.
Well, I think at that point, he's just like brushing everyone aside. He's not really fighting anyone at that point. He's just like brushing everyone aside because his final mission is right in front of him.
Right, but also in that time, like in that span of like going for the, you know, that final mission, Cap comes up to him and like, you know, does the baby grip with, you know, like
the baby daddy's grip,
daddy's giant fingers, like, gaga,
goo goo gaga.
Yeah. Like he grabs his hand and is trying to push him back. Like if Thanos was just wanting to walk through everybody, he would have just been like, okay, you're all out of the way, or you're all, you know, paper mache, you know, cube people.
Sure.
Or whatever.
But I think he also has like a sense of like, he doesn't really desire to kill them. He has a sort of sense of like, they're his enemies because they're standing in his way, but he doesn't necessarily have a hatred. Like he has, so that's that line he says to Tony, I hope they remember you or something like that.
Yeah. I hope they remember you.
He's like, you know, you guys are all heroes. I think he looks at those guys like, you're heroes like me. You're just not willing to go as far as I am to save everyone.
And that may be so, but he turned Drax into bricks, into cubes.
Right.
And like, he fell apart.
But only temporarily. Turned, yeah.
Right. because of the reality stone. So, like, if he did that to Cap and team on Earth, it wouldn't be long lived. Like, it would be a temporary thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, he doesn't have a real consistency to the way he fights, which, like, I don't know, maybe that shows his, like, versatility, or maybe it just shows, like, the writers wanted to show off all the different ways he could use the stones, you know? Or, like, the lack of care he has. And also, like, at that point, he has so many stones in his possession that, like, these people, when he's dealing with the Guardians, what does he have, 2 stones at that point? He's trying to get the third?
3.
Okay, he just got the third. So,
right. He had just gotten the reality stone.
So you can see, like, how once he has 5, maybe he just feels that much more, like, invulnerable, and he's just going to charge through, you know? Like, he doesn't doesn't need to shut people down or turn them into bricks or whatever. He's just like...
Or turn them into a spring.
Spring like slinky.
Like he did to Mantis.
Yeah.
Big slinky. That was so creepy.
Slinky Mantis.
Slinky Mantis.
Mantis wearing that little slinky dress.
Nope, not like this. Not like this at all.
Not like this.
Not like this. All that to say, we haven't seen much from these big fantastical characters other than to show up and do a big thing.
Right.
So, Doctor Strange, Wanda, America Chavez punching holes in reality to jump to other universes.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's going to be a big deal.
I definitely just fully agree with you there that the fact that, like, we've had this sort of power creep happening. And, like, part of the reason I think they never focus on Wanda and maybe Vision in the same way, like, once they reach their full potential, it's hard to know how, like, some of the other Avengers matter anymore.
Right.
You know, it's like, especially Wanda, who can warp reality. Like, what is that? What do you even do with that? And literally in comics, like, what do you do with that? You just have to take her out, I guess. You have to just kill her. even if she doesn't have bad intentions.
She still oopses reality a few times.
Yeah. You can't have somebody just oopsing all over reality. So, like, yeah. I don't know. Now we're finally delving into these characters. I think they did intentionally, like, hold back from some of those characters for a while.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to tell the story of Tony and Cap and how they, like, wanted to resolve all that.
Yeah, yeah. So, to try to segue into our next story, talking about power creep, how do you think the Eternals are going to factor into that? Especially with Icarus being, like, super strong, and he's basically Superman.
Yeah, his power set feels a lot like Superman, for sure. I think they'll fit in with the new sort of power levels that we're getting, like the Captain Marvels. And it's interesting because they've seemed really powerful, but they're truncated by their ability to decide to fight, which is such a weird thing. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be weird. I'm interested to see how this movie goes because it's like they're not allowed to help, right? Like, that's a weird choice for a hero.
Oh, my God. It's the Avengers if the Sokovia Accords were, like, actually working.
If they were actually listening, yeah.
Yeah, to, like, stop them from doing the thing until they're told they can.
Yeah, the Celestials are just the UN Security Council of space. Yeah.
Of space. It's the universal nations.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I think it's a interesting thought that, like, storytelling, the whole point is, like, you resist the call. Like, that's a whole story circle. It's like you start by resisting the call and you finally make the decision to, like, overcome your resistance and go into the fray and fight the battle and cross over the threshold or whatever. And they're, like, not allowed to make their own decisions. Like, so
until now,
what kind of hero does that make them? Like, how do we get on their, I don't know. That's an interesting problem for Marvel to solve of, like, the just classic story circle storytelling. I don't know. It's interesting.
I wonder, I saw in, like, I wonder though, like, I saw in the trailer, there was a point where it looked like they were, like, coming out of their pods, because you remember in the comic whenever Icarus got, like, blown to, like, when he got atomized, basically, he just kind of popped out of a little Eternals generator. Mm-hmm. Like Eternals 3D printer was just like, here's another Icarus.
Yeah.
And he was like, good to go. All right. Got reset. And it looked like they were kind of coming out of pods like that almost. So like, what if they've been either gone or asleep for a while?
Right. No, I'm talking about their, they're just not that they haven't been around, but their discussions in the trailer where they talk about like,
yeah,
you know, we aren't allowed to fight. And then it's like, who tells you you can't? And then it shows a celestial. So that's,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about the fact that they haven't been around, but the fact that like, that's what they're saying in the trailer, at least.
Yeah. I don't know. It could go either way, maybe, or maybe what we saw is just like a flashback, or maybe what I saw, I guess it's like a flashback of when they popped out of their pods, or like when they came to Earth, or
right. Yeah, that could be. I absolutely think it's possible they'll bring that element in, that in the comics, they're just like, when they die, they're just reborn from a little chamber.
That would be cool. That's what makes them eternal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boop. That's it. They're just like, they got backed up on iCloud and now they just come out of their 3D printer, Eternals yep. printer.
The 3D Eternals printer
yeah,
just squirts out another one. I don't like that term. So all this Eternals talk to say to everyone, like, stay off the internet.
Oh yeah, that we should have opened with that. Like, you kind of did at the intro, but like, stay off the internet about Eternals. Some assholes are spoiling it, and like, I've seen a couple of things that were like a little spoilery.
Some asshole. Some industry insider who went to the red carpet event yesterday. Like, it was yesterday, Monday, October 18th was the like red carpet premiere of the film. And some guy, I think he's at Variety. I don't know. I don't know where he is. I don't know who, but apparently he has been spoiling everything, spoiled the post-credit scene, like just dropping all kinds of crap. It's not great. Not a good look. Not a good look for an industry insider. Probably not getting invited back.
No, it's very upsetting to just like have that spill all over the internet. I mean, how have people not learned like about spoilers yet? You know, like, come on, people.
Yeah. Like, we're all trying to go into it fresh.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm eating up everything I can in the trailers and the featurettes, but that's because I'm excited for the film. It's not like I want to go and get all of the information about every little thing. Mm-hmm. Beforehand.
I even saw something about the post-credit sequence that was floating around, and I was like, crap, come on. Stop flooding the internet with that stuff. And it's hard for people like me and you were trying to like collect enough for the podcast without spoiling people. And it sucks. We just have to go like get away from the internet for a while.
Yep. Juice and Lemons in the chat said my mom accidentally spoiled something because she saw it on Facebook and called me to confirm. Needless to say, I'm taking applications for a new mother. immediate follow-up with JK, I love you, mom. That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
But no, the sentiment is real. I get it.
Yeah,
I'm there with you. New mom.
That's the big story about the Eternal. Stay off the internet.
Stay off the internet.
The last piece of news we have is Will Poulter.
Will Poulter
has been cast as Adam Warlock.
Yeah,
that's very interesting.
James Gunn posted on Twitter, basically saying, "You guys know that I like to shut down the rumors and everything, but no, this one's real." And Will Poulter, like he confirmed, Will Poulter has been cast as Adam Warlock in. Mm-hmm. The upcoming Guardians film.
It's very exciting. I'm watching him right now on a Dope Sick.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been really good. Starring Michael Keaton. And that's just been really cool to see him do a TV series, sort of a limited series type thing. And it's just attacking the sort of like, the opioid crisis. And he's like so sad. He's a, country doctor who just like, is just listening to the people that are giving him studies on the way that stuff works. And so he's just prescribing it unknowingly. And it's just, man, it's so sad. But, Will Poulter plays the, plays one of the pharma reps or whatever, who's like selling the drug to the poor town doctor or whatever. And it's just, you kind of hate him, but he's also not really understanding fully that what he's doing. And it's just sad, man, but really, really great so far.
That's rough. Mm-hmm. Well, if you do go on the internet, don't make it to find Eternals spoilers. You should go look up look at the glow up that Will Poulter has gone through part of the Marvel glow up.
Mm-hmm.
The kid, like, I don't know how to say it other than kid's gotten hot. Like, he pulled a Neville Longbottom on us.
He pulled a Neville Longbottom on us. One of them Chris Pratts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because he looked, if you remember, We're the Millers
is
one of the films that he was in, where he was, you know, the geeky looking kid with the giant braces and like just not, you know, kind of shrimpy, just generally not considered an attractive person.
And well, that's the thing is in that movie, he's cast because he looks like the geeky kid. Like that's part of half of the humor of that movie, of his part of that movie is him looking kind of like, man, look at me. He's like cast very much for his look, and his look is that he's not like a, you know, he's not the cute kid. He's the geeky one. And like, yeah, to see him, you know, grow into himself, you know.
Grow up and glow up.
Glow up, yo.
So I just sent you a link to like
sexy pictures of Will Poulter.
No, he's just in an interview. He's got a lapel mic on, and you can see like he has buffed out for this role.
Rad.
Like he looks like he could be Adam Warlock at this point, you know?
Right.
Like he's got the Marvel game or the Marvel fit game, you know, he's got that team of people behind him.
And I love that every article that I'm reading that has Will Poulter announced still has his picture from We Are the Millers.
Yeah.
Like all over it. It's just like, well, he can't live that down.
He can't. And that was, God, how long ago was that? It was 2013 is when that came out.
Wow.
So that was 8 years ago at this point.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
It was 8 years ago and people are still like, no, you're just the shrimpy kid.
But no, I'm pumped. I think I'm just pumped to hear any news that Guardian, it just makes it feel more real, you know?
Yeah.
So that's always great. All right, well, let's get into the feedback. How about it?
Sure.
How about it, Jeff?
How about it, indeed? We got James S., one of our patrons. Hey, guys, my name is James. I'm from New York, so no accent voice memo to go along with this. I just signed up for the Patreon after many months of procrastination, or should I say deliberation?
Animation deliberation reference.
I get it. I understood that reference. James says, I listen at work, so by the time I get to go on my phone, I always forget. I felt I owed it to you because of the countless hours of entertainment and fun you've all provided me. While at work, I run loud machines and do work most people don't enjoy, landscaper, and I've gotten many looks and comments from people that see me smiling and laughing as I go about my day, usually because I'm listening to you all. I found you guys after Black Panther, which is also when I became an MCU fan. I watched all the movies and Netflix shows leading up to Black Panther since I had a few months before Infinity War came out. I was looking for more Marvel content. I was so happy to find a podcast that not only cared about the movies, but the shows as well. I went back through the catalog, listened to all your show and movie breakdowns, and now you're my first podcast on the list whenever I open the app. Your show has improved in quality a lot since then. I donated on the GoFundMe for the laptop and glad it helped. But what stayed the same is your funny, honest, down-to-earth conversations that really helped me get through the day with a smile on my face. I look forward to interacting with you and the Panda family more as time goes on. The awesome community you all have built is a testament to how awesome you all are. Until next time, true believers. I don't.
But
that's what that is. Okay. I was like, ba-da-da-bum. Like, I don't know. This is ba-da-ba-bum. Bum bitty bum bum bum.
Like, is this a, this is a typo? It's got to be a typo. Nope, that was our music. James, thank you so much for becoming a patron, bud. And so many thank yous to throw back at James and everybody out there listening. For one thing, I've mentioned it a lot before we started, but they just announced the new Macs. And as I've talked about on the show, when you guys were so gracious to give me the money to keep the podcast going, and I was about to order my computer, Zuhair from the Animation Deliberation podcast jumped in, and he was like, don't buy it yet. I was like, what do you mean don't buy it yet? I need it to make the podcast. And he was like, don't. There's new Macs coming. They're going to be way better. Wait like 4 months. If you spend that money now, it's going to like, you're going to get way less computer for your money. And I was like, okay. So I bought a cheap one to get me through a couple months. It's been sort of slow. It's been like overheating and like, it's like, it runs hot every time we're doing this. Like, it's like literally I can put my hands close to it and it's heating up. warm my hands
take
by
your hands away
hugging
from
my Mac over here. I literally can warm my hands. It's crazy. But the new ones, that should not be the case, but they literally announced them yesterday and I am so excited. I'm about to finally get to buy that laptop that all of you guys were so gracious to allow us to get for the podcast. And we're going to be able to like make this show even better and do more cool things. And I cannot wait. So thank you. Thank you.
So thank you to James. I kept expecting in that message somewhere for there to be a, like, I also want to talk about a property, you know, like I want to give feedback about a property, but it wasn't there. It was all gushing and I'm appreciative.
Yeah. Thank you.
Like, thank you, James. I don't know how to feel. I don't know what to do with my hands. yeah. That's basically it.
Don't know how to take praise except for to send it right back. And we just,
yeah, it's not me. It's you.
Yeah. You guys, that community you're talking about is just made up of people like yourself that have just come around this podcast and built up the Stranded Panda thing. And like, it's just, we couldn't have done it on purpose if we tried. Just so many cool people out there in the Facebook and the Discord and the Reddit.
Yep.
Which we should mention, we're trying to build up the Discord and the Reddit because a lot of people want to get out of Facebook. That's like,
yeah.
And I totally get it. There's a lot of reasons to get out of Facebook. So if you're one of those people, we are trying to put a little more work into the Discord and the Reddit side.
Yeah. Reddit.com/r/MCUcast will get you to Reddit subreddit. And I don't remember the code offhand for the Discord, but,
we'll try to make sure the link is correct.
Matt will put it in the show notes.
I can do that. Yeah.
And it is a link that does not expire, so
good.
Yeah,
because all the links they kept expiring.
Yeah, I made sure to correct that on this link.
Oh, good job. Okay, yeah. So thank you, James. You're the best. Appreciate you, man.
So next up, we got another patron, Tim Brown, says a bit of clarification. I wasn't saying that Loki or Thor were better characters per se. I was saying Loki was a much happier character. Also, Loki said he wouldn't help like everyone else did, but you see several frost giants still helping straighten stuff up in the montage of the cleanup when Frigga is coming down to Earth. Check it out. You'll see them. Also, yes, Thor was big into himself in the first Thor and enjoying the cheers and whatnot, but he wasn't the same as Party Thor at all. Remember what Nebula said to him when they were looking at Killmonger? She said, "Do you trust him?" And he said, "I trust everybody." That simply is not the same Thor who hasn't had any conflicts really with anyone. It's actually amazing he could fight as well as he did, because he's way more into partying than fighting. But since he's 1,500 years old, he may have gotten into a few here or there, but not with that many, I'm guessing, if he's going to be that trusting of everybody.
Hmm. Well, the thing is, like, Thor's the kind of guy who, like, a physical fight isn't necessarily going to be the be-all and end-all of your relationship with him. You know what I mean? He's, like,
the kind of
guy
not.
Who respects a yeah. good fight.
He's like, oh, yeah, you're a great person because you kicked the shit out of my face.
Right. But the kind of treachery he's had to deal with Loki, you know. And
that breaks you.
Yeah, that's broken Thor. And I think it's a really good point because he was talking about them being better versions of themselves. And I think it is definitely true that it seems like while it may have had the impact on Thor to make him a better hero, to to have Loki in his life, it does seem to have had mostly negative effects on his own happiness. You know?
Yeah.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
And, like, watching Thor's arc through what we've seen in the MCU is, like, there is no happiness for him. Like, every part of being a hero is just tragedy and loss. Mm. Like, oh my god, he has lost so much.
Yeah, he really has. Oh, it's rough.
Sorry, I got I got distracted thinking about how sad it was. Like, damn, bro. That's rough.
Yeah, it really is.
All right.
It's so sad for Loki, too, to think about it that way. Like, you've been a real negative effect on your brother's life. Your brother, who you do love in some way, been a real negative effect on him.
Yeah.
The only way you've been good for him is that you've kind of sharpened him as a hero because he had to deal with you. Yeah, it's rough, man.
Well, I mean, that tracks with what we saw in the Loki series.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, Mobius said your role in the grand scheme of things is to make other heroes better.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So that they can become the best versions of themselves.
That's absolutely a good call. I wasn't even thinking about that, but that's exactly what it is. And so, yeah, that's very consistent. I like it. So when he's saying that to him in Loki, it's like, yeah, of course, he's a villain. Of course, his role in the grand scheme is to, like, sharpen the heroes. But, like, when you think about the fact that his brother is one of those heroes who he loves, it just gets really sad really fast.
Yeah. So let's not take too long thinking about that. Nah. We're just going to bring the whole podcast down.
I don't want to start thinking about my own brother and how he's nothing but a spur in my heel. I don't think that's a phrase.
I don't want to start thinking about the fact that I'm an only child with no such problems.
Oh, wait, I do.
Oh, look at that.
Free of siblings. Woo!
Free of siblings. Only have everyone else dragging me down. I don't know. That came out weird.
It's really any social thoughts there, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, Dad was an isolationist, so, you know. Mm. Led us down a certain path. Anyway, can't get into that right now. let's see. Next up, Tyler says, guys and Ashley, first time, long time. Love the pod. You all do great work. I was catching up on a couple episodes I missed recently and listened to the October 3rd Man Without Fear is Afraid to Speak episode. At the end, you were laughing about how all uncles are good, and someone mentions Uncle Sam and then Uncle Sam not being real. I started laughing about a random string of thought. I think Marvel What If has a real opening with Chris Evans as Old Man Cap, putting on a star-spangled top hat, and taking up the mantle Uncle Sam to fight some crime and injustice in the dark underworld of senior housing. Sorry.
Dark underworld.
Great work. Love you 3000. Tyler in Newport Beach.
Thank you, Tyler. I love this idea. I don't know how this has never happened. Like, I know he's been old in comics. How has he never taken on the mantle of Uncle Sam? That's so good.
I don't know.
Cut the check, Marvel. Cut the check to Tyler.
Cut the check to Tyler. We'll pass it on. We might take a little bit off the top, just, you know, for handling fees.
Handling fees.
Yeah. We're going to be Tyler's agents.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, yeah. We're his official idea agents. That sounds like a weird dystopian future. Let's see what's the next feedback.
Eric Bailey sent us an email. Hello, Stranded Pandas. Glad to be able to check in with you all again. I have missed your voices through these changing months. I've been thinking one-dimensionally about the phase 5/6 arc of antagonism and wondering which single foe would emerge as the cornerstone of the story. Would it be Kang, Scarlet Witch, or even Strange Supreme?
Ooh.
Perhaps comic book foes like Shuma-Gorath or a Celestial, but maybe even an Elder God like Thawne? Why not all of them, I say? This is the multiverse, after all. Think of this. If the stories we've been told so far are staging 3, maybe more, possible hero teams, Thunderbolts, Young Avengers, and the Guardians of the Multiverse, and a cavalcade of bad guys and Nexus beings to oppose them and each other. Why not throw all of them together all at once in a multi-universal series of conflicts sure to produce a seemingly endless highlight reel of Marvel content? Jeff called it many months back. Battle World, anyone? Would it ever need to culminate in a final conflict against a Nexus being like the Beyonder? Nah, perhaps someone like Uatu would have to intervene again to preserve the multiverse, but why stop the fun? If anything, What If has made Jeff's theory far more likely. Perhaps a finale where reality is saved by a truly unique set of multiversal heroes? Eric B. in Woodland. Mm. You know, I like it, Eric. I like it because you said I was right.
I bet you do like it there, Jeff. So silly.
That's not the only reason, but multiverse is fun. I've always enjoyed a good multiverse.
Me too, and I think his point is well taken. Even if it's not Battle World exactly,
it kind of felt like Battle World, though.
Right, but I mean, like it could just be in our universe or in whatever stage of the multiverse. Like almost everything he mentions there is happening on our world. You know what I mean? Like the three teams that are building. Like that's just you could just have a lot of threats emerging. And, you know, just like in, it looks like they're doing the Sinister Six in Spider-Man, you could have just these, like, whatever, as many sinister, evil teams as you needed to go against this huge force of heroes, if you count the Thunderbolts. So, I love it. I love it. Good ideas.
Oh, man. There was a thing in Dark Avengers, actually, where Venom took on the role of Spider-Man in the Avengers, like, you know, in the public Avengers group or whatever.
Okay. I know some people are just getting to see Venom. So, spoiler alert.
I still haven't.
Yeah, I know. You should, but I also know that I told you what happened because you needed to be able to talk about it on the cast. Spoiler alert, we're going to discuss Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and its post-credit sequence now. So if you want to skip forward a minute or two.
So, based on the end of Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and that whole sequence that, like, Feige has said that they had to work together with, you know, the team doing No Way Home, and, you know, and all these teams had to work together to make that happen. We could, I mean, there's potential for there to be an actual, like, Dark Reign, Dark Avengers type of thing, where some bad person in a government position, like a Norman Osborn. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to throw names out like that, but like somebody could take over Iron Patriot, right? Mm-hmm. Take over an Iron Man suit and lead that team publicly. And Venom could be on that team. Like we could actually see Dark Avengers happen.
Oh, for sure.
And then obviously that has to lead to Siege. Because I've been saying Siege for years.
Yeah. I know you want Siege, but I could also see like a time where just like the Young Avengers face down the Dark Avengers, you know? Like the whole public thinks the Dark Avengers are just a continuation of the Avengers, and then the Young Avengers have to come in and like stop them. And if he survives, I was talking to somebody this week about how if he survives Hawkeye, like I think Hawkeye could be a good mentor figure for the Avengers. Like, it, it's not in the feedback because it would be, I think it must've been in the Stranded Panda chat on Facebook because someone mentioned the idea that like, and please write in, we'll give you credit. I just forget. Someone mentioned the idea that, Hawkeye was the person who got Wanda to change her mind and become an Avenger. And they were saying, maybe he's the one that's needed to talk her down in Multiverse of Madness. So like maybe he would show up there to help talk her down. But I was just like, yeah, maybe that's possible. But like, what about also the idea that like, yes, he turned those two from villains to heroes. He kind of made Natasha flip sides to become a hero. He's going out and this Kate Bishop, who's out there apparently fighting as Ronin, he's going to go get her to switch to, you know, I mean, like, I think he's going to be perfect for whether he's alive or dead, leading Yelena to switch sides. You know what I mean? And like, he's kind of the king of like having someone become an Avenger. You know what I mean? Like, he knights Avengers. I know Tony's the one who actually did it, but he's like the guy who goes around knighting Avengers. And like, yeah, I could totally see him doing that for more of the young Avengers, you know?
Yeah. Tony's the one that like, you know, has the final say or whatever, but it's like Hawkeye's the one that kind of develops them, coaches them.
Yeah. He's like the recruitment officer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, for the Avengers.
It's like, you know, you got potential, kid. You know, if you could just, you're good, but with my help, you could be the best.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Then they call him Uncle Quint, and him and Uncle Sam go out, and they're the Uncles, and it's the sequel to the Marvels. Right?
No, don't like that.
You're really making my intensely bad idea really awkward, Jeff.
Yep, I think that's just you.
I blame you for this. I blame you for this fully.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So, you were saying that that Young Avengers going against the Dark Avengers would be awesome. That reminds me, though, Young Avengers. Within the Dark Reign, like Young Avengers Volume 1, number 1, I think. Or, I'm sorry, I think it was Dark Reign Young Avengers. God, whatever the, like, their tie-in during that event was the first, like, that issue, number 1, is the first instance, or first appearance, rather, of Sylvie as Enchantress. And you remember we were saying Sylvie, like, Loki Sylvie.
Yeah.
As Enchantress on the Young Avengers is, like, Perfect setup. Like, that was the first appearance of her.
That's fun. Maybe it's it. Maybe you're right.
Just laying it out there. It's on the table.
Yeah. Maybe Hawkeye is needed to go flip her to the good side too.
Yeah. He flips all the ladies.
Yeah. And Quicksilvers. So we need him to reach out to Ralph Boner as well.
There's a joke there somewhere about Ralph Boner then being shot by a robot. I don't know. I don't know if it's uncouth or not, but
I'm sure it is. It started with Ralph Boner. It's going to end in an uncouth place. You can't start with Ralph Boner and end like, you know, completely clean.
Are you saying Ralph Boner always makes it dirty?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Quite literally.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, that is all for this particular episode of the MCU cast. We're going to be back with the next episode, which will be a bunch of what if feedback. And we're going to do as much of the what we didn't get to do it last week. So we're going to do as much of the what if feedback as we can in a 1 hour podcast. And we may have to split it up into two because we still have about 10 pages of it. So we got lots of stuff to talk about with what if, and we'll be back in a couple days. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.